Another episode of Tap That. I've got Jess Mungs with me today, which I'm super, super excited about. So welcome, Jess.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Jess, can you please give yourself a glorious introduction?
Well, I'm Jess Mungs, creator of the Tapping Space, advanced practitioner in EFT. And I guess I combine that little superpower with my uniqueness. I am ADHD. I have neurodivergent children and just tend to attract that kind of tribe. So I think it's really important for us to have as many tools to stay emotionally regulated, and tapping's like the best one for that. So that's a little bit about me.
I love that. Thank you. So as someone who does have ADHD and has been, now you're an advanced EFT practitioner, how has EFT helped you?
Well, EFT actually came before the diagnosis for me. So I found EFT in a scroll hole looking for alternative anxiety support and stumbled across Nick Ortner tapping on his face, saying some words in front of a crowd. And I looked at him and thought, oh my gosh, this guy's crazy. But I was honestly starting to feel crazy in that moment, like at that time. So I was, try anything. And I gave it a go. And the wave of calm that washed over my body in that moment was something that I'd not experienced in so long. And I just knew that I had to know more. And I started trying it for random things. I used to white knuckle hold on in the car when my husband was driving. And I just started tapping when he would drive. And I can be in the car fine. We've just done a month road trip. Like, things that it has created ease around is mind-blowing. So I'm so grateful for that moment because it really has changed my life. It's changed my mental health and my well-being. And I've been able to teach it to clients and work through with clients and help them with similar things.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I found it, like, I did not know that that diagnosis of ADHD came, you know, after you'd already found EFT. So if you don't mind sharing a little bit of how you unpacked finding out that you have ADHD, like, that would be amazing.
Yeah. So when I found EFT, I know, like, things started to get better for me. Last year in particular, mum life was quite tricky. My son really struggled going back to school after the first lockdown. His ASD, ADHD, with a PDA profile, for those who know the alphabet army, anxiety is massive for him. And when it's heightened, it can look like defiance. And in a school setting, that's treated as a behavior problem rather than let's regulate them and see how we go from there. So things got bad for him. And I realized that with the extra cognitive load of the business and all the stuff, I found myself kind of not as bad as what I was, but I knew that I could be doing a lot better. And the signs were there. My dad was diagnosed ADHD as an adult. Obviously, my kids, I don't know of anyone where it has skipped generations. So, and for me, it kind of just started making sense. I always thought that the original anxiety and depression that I'd had kind of struggled with for some time was trauma related, but now it's sort of chicken and the egg. I hold on to stories that a neurotypical person, it may just wash off their back, but I feel it in my heart. I ruminate on it. I plant that seed, and it can be it can create a real core problem for me.
Yeah.
So because I knew ADHD so well, I actually went to a psychologist who does his testing via neurofeedback scan. So I've had the things on my head to read how fast my brain works and got it done that way because I didn't just want to tick and flick the questions when you know what answers they're looking for. Does that make sense? So yeah. So that's where we're at. I still need to be diagnosed by a psychiatrist if I want to visit the medication side of things, but just for me, knowing was relief.
Yeah, that's a huge part of some of the conversations that I've had with someone who they know within themselves that they have it, but they don't want to have to go and pay exorbitant amount of money just to be told what they kind of already know. So I totally, I don't want to say I resonate with that because I'm not someone who has ADHD, but I can totally understand why you wouldn't want to fork out money and go do tests for something that you already know within yourself is to be true. So
yeah. And when you do know as well, if you find a psychiatrist that doesn't quite believe in ADHD, especially in females, because essentially it's still fairly new, That can be really heartbreaking as well, because when you put yourself in a vulnerable situation saying, I need help, or I don't feel normal, the word, like, what is it? But then told that, no, you're just anxious and depressed, here, take these. And those don't serve us in a way that they would a neurotypical person either, who has depression and anxiety. So I think allowing us to be able to get to the core and then finding tools that serves our brains.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's really cool. Thank you for sharing that and like bringing that to my awareness as well. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of neurotypical people listening to this will probably have a stop and think about the, I guess, the impacts that, you know, certain medications have for them and not going to work for other people either. And that's also a really fascinating element to me as well. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I'm curious to know, like, because you do EFT with children as well. Is that correct?
Yeah. I like to teach kids what it is and how to use it themselves, giving them the superpower. And by doing that, we're also building that rapport. So if there is stuff that they need to let go of, or if they experience some things that they do need work with, we've also kind of built that rapport where they feel safe to tell me those things that they're feeling, that, and we can work on them together. And I kind of do the same with my adult clients as well. I don't want them to think that I'm the one solving all their problems. It is them.
Yeah.
I'm just the vessel holding the space for them to, I guess, feel those feelings, which so often we do our best not to feel them. Adults tend to need to know it's going to work before they'll learn about the how and the why, though. So quite often with an adult client, we're going straight in. We're crying the first session. And then they know that it works. And then they're like, okay, what did you do?
Yeah. The kids are just like, you can pretty much try anything. It's like, oh yeah, that's cool.
yeah. And really rocking the fact that it is a little bit weird with kids as well, and giving them a space to embrace that.
Yeah.
Because if it works and if it's going to make you feel better, let's own the weird.
Yeah, absolutely. And kids are weird as shit. Like, that's what I admire about them so much. Like, they don't care about what else, like, anyone else is doing. They're just, you know, living their best life. And we stifle that creativity and that outlet and that inspiration so much into adulthood. And it does play into, like, the adult brain with what you were saying. They need to understand, like, that it is going to work beforehand. Yeah. Whereas, like, kids, anything goes. I love that.
Yeah. And they clear their stuff so much faster than we do. We hold on to it, and we hold on to it tightly, and we've probably been carrying it for years and years, watering the seed.
Yeah.
So with kids, like, if they're able to use it when they feel that heart sting or whatever it is, that the discomfort that they're feeling, and they can let go of that in the moment, gosh, I honestly think it could be world changing.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. So thank you. I had a lovely, lovely friend reach out, and they had a couple of questions that they specifically would like to ask you, because they also have a ADHD. So if you don't mind, I'm going to give a shout out to Lucy Manzano. So thank you, Lucy, for sending through these questions. So Lucy wanted to know, what are some of the common traits or themes that your ADHD clients need support with?
RSD is probably the biggest, rejection sensitivity dysphoria. So for this shows up, and I'm going to use an example of the way I feel it, and it may resonate for others, but our perception of things can be slightly skewed. So friends doing something without me being able to be there can hurt my heart, even though they're doing the thing, I can't be there for whatever reason. But that FOMO and that feeling of being left out can feel really big for me. And this shows up in our children as well. So it can affect the way relationships go. It also, things that can be said, like, as a just constructive criticism, I'll take it critically and need to kind of unravel it a little bit. Tapping has helped with this, because obviously if someone said something and I'm feeling something, I'm now able to go, why am I feeling this? and decipher it. But before that, I'd just be sitting in my hurt heart, ruminating on all the other reasons why my heart should be hurting. So giving clients tools to be able to work through that rather than them always, I guess it's beating up on ourselves, really. We've got this brilliant way of being able to see the negative in things. When I was a weddings coordinator, I could look at a room full of tables and find where the knives and forks were missing from, etc. So sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's really not fun.
From those clients, are you finding that their aspects are more so related to their ADHD or trauma related?
Somewhat a combination, because we are so hypersensitive. Gabor Mate suggests in Scattered Minds, which is his book around ADD, is that we almost have an allergic reaction to emotions. So if we're holding on to those emotions that create that physical feeling within us, and ADHDers tend to have that physical feeling more easily, then we're holding on to so much more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then because our brains like to ruminate, we're forever thinking, that's almost giving proof to that feeling that we've just held on to and watering that seed, making it a bigger problem. I think for ADHDs and neurotypical people as well, it's that the little T traumas can be just as life-changing or life-hindering as those big T traumas. It's just how, I guess, we ruminate on them and process them.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I can totally see that and understand that. A couple more questions from Lucy. What support are you specifically identifying is needed for ADHD clients?
I wish there was more information around the emotional sensitivity of ADHDers, especially because there is still this stigma that it's the bouncy little boy who can't sit still in his seat. And there's still so much around behavior problems, but really so often those behavior problems have that emotional core and there's a need being unmet. And that need may not be relevant to someone else, but if it's relevant to that person and it's not being filled, then it's going to look like a problem.
Yeah.
So just having more information out there and allowing that to be easier understood, I guess, in society as a whole. And I wish that people were gentle on themselves. So some of the cognitive things that an ADHDer might really struggle with, for me, it's paperwork. If it's like, or phone calls, if I've got to make a phone call, it might take me a year to get to that thing, because it just feels too big. We're really good at making our to-do list feel so much bigger. So I guess having those tools that mm-hmm. allow us to decipher that so we can better manage it.
So would you say then that ADHD, again, is similar to having a spectrum of different kind of things that impact different ADHDers? Yeah.
Just like autism, just like we're all... it is a spectrum. It's not just ADHD, you struggle with this and this. And that spectrum can change from a day-to-day basis depending on what our life load looks like as well. So I think keeping the overwhelm at bay where we can, so we don't lean into those massive big feelings that tend to be even bigger at times for us.
Right on. And so how fast do you see positive changes with your ADHD clients?
I think when they start embracing EFT and tapping themselves, that's when the big stuff really starts happening, because they're better managing themselves throughout a day to day. They're not so stressed. So they're not coming and we're having to deal with that surface level stuff. We're able to go deep and release as much core stuff as we can. And when you're tapping on a day to day basis, that allows you to do that. Otherwise, they're coming to me and they're like, oh, life's this. And it's all the week, the stuff that's happened throughout that week, which I'm happy to help them maintain, sort of thing. But we know that if we're able to release those core things, it creates the headspace. Mm-hmm. And for minds that feel so cluttered, creating as much space for the positive stuff to start flowing.
Yeah.
I think is really, really important. And that's where, stuff really starts to shift.
Yeah, you start to see those changes incrementally, or, you know, on a faster turnaround scale. And I was talking to someone just the other day about and it's something that you brought up earlier in the podcast as well, is that we hold on to so much for so long, and it can really impact us for sometimes weeks and months and years, and you get to a point where you're just like, you know, I don't really want to feel like this anymore. And I found with EFT, like, that aspect can change in the space of 45 minutes to an hour, like, for something that you've been carrying on for, like, could be years.
Yeah. And sometimes when you do the work on one of those bigger stories or something that's holding so much of your emotional space, it's, you almost feel like a different person the next day, sort of thing. You're like, whoa, how was that even a big thing for me? And it could have been really crippling the day before. Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah, that's why we love it. That's why we do it.
Yep.
So I don't want to have such a focus in saying that you only work with ADHD clients, because you don't. Who are some of the other clients that you work with?
It's just happened that most of my clients have been ADHD. I haven't done that intentionally. It's just, and then so many clients have come to me, and after seeing me, they've kind of gone, actually, some of those things that you said really resonate. Maybe I am too. So I think as we build more awareness, more people are going to find that they might be neurodivergent themselves. But I also work with other practitioners to keep them, I guess, aligned and accountable, and so they can keep on serving and shining their light in their space. I love being able to hold space for them so they can continue doing what they're doing. One thing I really love about the EFT, I guess, community is we just want people tapping.
Yeah.
And if you're doing it with someone else, then that's brilliant. You're tapping, like, and we help everyone to try to keep tapping.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why, like, I love that I have this platform in this podcast setting, because, you know, the idea of this podcast is not to get people to work with me specifically. It's about being able to showcase that each practitioner has their own kind of style and method, and they have their own story and own journey of what they bring to the table, which again is so unique to the person at the other end, like, client-wise. Yeah. And I just want the right practitioners to find the right people. And that's why I love, like, talking about all the different modalities that people have, and then even within those modalities having, like, little different ways that they do things.
We're very lucky.
Absolutely. I really, really, really feel that, especially over the last few years with everything that's been going on and finding EFT for me, like, because I still feel, like, quite new. I'm not someone that's been doing this for years and years and years. But, yeah, I just feel very, very lucky to be in service to others and hold space for them, as I'm sure, like, that's what you want out of a practitioner, really. You don't want someone that's like, oh, I'm not really here to, you know, be in service. I just want to make money and go, so... and so I saw that you had just kicked off a program last week.
Nourish and Reset.
Do you want to tell us a bit about it?
So Nourish and Reset is looking at, I guess, some of the societal messaging and just some of the stories, I guess, that we've collected throughout life that affect the way we see food, the way we see movement. And I think the idea is to kind of let go of as much of the negative energy around any of that, and even the way we see ourselves when we look at in the mirror, and shifting that to a more positive, light sort of mindset. And I don't know, I have this idea that if we eat the piece of chocolate and it's just because it's going to be the piece of chocolate that nourishes our soul in that moment without eating the guilt and the shame and all those things, we're just going to eat it. We'll become satisfied more easily. We won't eat the whole block. We might just have the one piece and start being able to, I guess, reset so we're then able to nourish.
Beautiful. I love it. And so what are some of the common societal pressures that you see that have an influence on us as society or just individuals?
So the way I've grown up, I've tried a lot of different diets. I probably started dieting way too young. There was a time when I got paid $5 for every kilo that I lost. That probably in nowadays is a gasp, like, oh, how did that happen? But mum thought that she was doing the right thing at that moment. So it is what it is. But like things like, oh, dairy, it's not good for me because of X, Y. Yes, if you're intolerant, like that's a different thing.
That, right? You know, you're intolerant. Yeah.
But all carbs are bad, or this is bad, this isn't clean, or just being able to see the food for what it is and being able to nourish yourself. But coming back to that self-love and being able to truly love and accept yourself so you know that you're worthy of the nourishment, rather than some people eat for punishment or move for punishment, just releasing as much, I guess, negative energy around that.
Yeah.
So it's flowing. So your body can flow more freely as well. If we're holding on to stored emotions and stuff like that, we're going to have inflammation. We're going to have all the stuff. So clearing as much as possible. And I think that's where what I'm trying to do with the programs that I am releasing at the moment is looking at the different areas of our life where we can create ease, where we can deep dive into some of our stories and release and just clear that space.
Beautiful. I really, really love that. And I resonated with a lot of that. And I think a lot of women will, purely because, as you said, like we've been told by society to look a certain way, feel a certain way, eat a certain way, exercise a certain way. Like, you know, I just think about the days, like I really loved lifting weights, like absolutely loved it. I loved like the empowerment that I felt when I was weightlifting. But prior to that, like being told like, oh, you don't want to build too much muscle. You don't want to look at like, you don't want to look like one of those masculine women, do you? Yeah. And it just wasn't, it wasn't for that. I just really fucking loved weightlifting.
Yeah. And coming to a space and finding what you love and what serves you, not because of all the noise that there's a lot of noise.
Yes, there is, isn't there? Oh my goodness. Everyone needs their own set of headphones, but. So have the beautiful program that you've just kicked off. What are some of the other services that you offer online?
Pretty much all my offerings are online. I do amazing vision castings, which light me up. This is like a deep dive into, if you're wanting to manifest, we're going to look 5 years from now, create the dream life, really embody that. Tapping gives us that superpower where we're able to start working with the subconscious mind. When we're planting seeds there, things start to happen. And next year, things are going to start getting really woo in the tapping space. I want to lean more into my intuition and all things tarot and Reiki and the stuff that lights me up. There's even a session coming that's called To Woo For You, because I have kind of been a little bit stuck in my neurodivergent bubble, and it's really exciting that I can kind of shape shift a little bit and encourage others to use their gifts as well.
I love that. That sounds amazing, and I cannot wait to see like all the incredible things that you're doing next year. So where can we find you, Jess? Where are you?
Come and stop me on the tapping space. You'll see me tapping my face and saying some words and changing lives. Otherwise, thetappingspace.com.au.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being here, Jess. I so appreciate you. And I've learned so, so much about the ADHD community, which I'm just like so grateful to you for sharing. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime. And shout out to Lucy again for all your amazing.
Thanks, Lucy.